Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
I've got back to square one.
And I've got a tooth that needed to be pulled.
Welcome to Date Fight. It's the show where we take great moments that occurred on this day in history and pitch them against each other.
Easy, yeah. I'm Nat Tapley, and together we are cutting open the abdomen of history and removing the two kidneys within and comparing to see which filters truth best through itself.
Beautiful.
Lovely, isn't it?
Do you know, I was in the supermarket with my kids today, and he was like, dude, what's that? Livers? Is that as
like
in...
actual...
I was like, yeah, do you know what job they do?
Yeah, not enough. They could have been taking our jobs. It used to be us filtered the aristocracy's urine for it. Not anymore. Bloody livers coming over here.
It was a good job. It was a good job.
Man and boy, I filtered the urine of the aristocracy. And it was good enough for me. Didn't do me any harm, apart from a withered arm and some sexual dysfunction.
And on Christmas Day, they let us have a little taste. Let's start this show. We're so good giddy this week.
Round one! I'm going to take you back to the 22nd of January, 1877.
I hoped you would.
Did you? Do you know what? Are you going to the same place?
No, absolutely no idea. No, absolutely no idea. By the way, now, after yesterday's...
Yes.
Good luck, mate. Good luck.
Yeah, I'm being only enthusiastic today about whatever it is. So I certainly hope you've brought some massacres, because I'm going to be upbeat about everything. I'm going to find the bright side of whatever story we talk about, including the arrest in 1877 of Arthur Tooth, the Anglican clergyman who was taken into custody for being a ritualist.
What's worse than Arthur Tooth?
I don't know. Probably being taken into custody, I'm guessing, in the...
Racism, Nat.
Oh, yeah. That's your answer for everything.
Racism.
What should we have for dessert?
Racism!
So in the mid-19th century, there was the Oxford Movement, which was started by Cardinal Newman, who left the Anglican Church to go back to the Catholic Church. And the Oxford Movement was full of people who wanted to reintroduce bits of the Catholic Church into Anglicanism. So
that all like sounds a little bit sloshy and incestuous.
Yeah, they wanted
filthy.
To bring in... funny clothes, chasubles, incense, all that sort of thing.
Oh, no, not that. What, like sleeping with your sister or something?
All that stuff.
Oh, incense.
Incense, dear, oh dear. Oh, I'm looking forward to yours later, because I didn't find out what that was. And you promised some hot brother on sister act, or, you know.
Yeah, stay tuned,
kids. Sit through the ecumenical discussion, and we'll be into hot incense any minute now. People didn't like it because some people thought it was idolatrous. Some people hated Catholicism just because, you know, it was a bit French and Spanish. The French and the Spanish are Catholics, and we spent all of history hating them. Some people didn't like it was anti-democratic because, obviously, the Catholic Church, there's one person who's right, and it's the Pope. And other people didn't like it, and this is true, at the end of the 19th century, because they thought it was too effeminate.
Oh.
Because they wanted to wear lots of nice dresses and have smells and things. People thought that was too effeminate for Christianity. And Jesus, well-known butch man, agreed.
I love the idea that, you know, okay. Catholicism, it's just a spa day. Put on the robe, smell the nice smells.
Spanish Inquisition, I could have had them. I'd have taken them. So in 1874, they passed the Public Worship Regulation Act to make sure things stayed good and English. Arthur Tooth, however, didn't agree. Arthur Tooth had graduated in 1862, then spent a year travelling twice around the world, became a crack shot and horseman, and then been ordained to the church. And then he started introducing hats and liturgies and smells and all sorts of things. People saying, you're doing it wrong. This isn't proper. You're being one of those ritualists. And he was called to Lambeth Palace in 1876 to answer for his ritualism. And he said, you have no power over me. And didn't go. So on the 22nd of January, 1877, he was taken into custody for contempt of court. He was convicted and taken to prison. His conviction was quashed on a technicality. He then had his parish taken away from him the next year and lived for another 52 years, starting various prep schools, as far as I can tell.
Oh, of course.
And that's the story of... Yeah, let's not dig too far. I said I was being happy today, only upbeat. I didn't even look.
Nice try, hotshot. I think you'll find in history, everyone dies at the end.
Yeah. Okay, so that's Arthur Tooth, Anglican clergyman. And so he's important because, you know, Anglicans. Let's have some incest.
Well, I'm not sure you and I can. I mean, we can, you know, do the mouth swab and send it off or something.
We could try.
What do? Do you just spit in a jiffy bag for those DNA kits?
Yes, it's in a tube.
Yeah, see.
They send you a little plastic test tube.
I got a caution the last time I did that. Right, I'm taking back...
This is a chemistry lesson. Yeah, sorry.
You work for the post office. I'm taking back to January the 22nd, 613.
Ooh, wow.
Yes. And Constantine gets crowned as co-emperor, which I quite like. That's pretty hippy-dippy, pretty democratic, pretty commune, by his father, Heraclius, at Constantinople. Here's the thing. He's 8 months old.
Wow.
I think he's ready.
Yeah.
He's a very bright boy.
What had he done to show that he was ready for the honour that was bestowed on him? Also, how do people feel about it? Like, knowing the person in charge is 8 months old.
Well, I mean, he's not 6 months old. And in those days, you know, they grew up so fast, Nat.
They grew up so fast. There was no such thing as
childhood. He was smoking by then.
Up a chimney at two.
So he was crowned on 22nd of January, 613. And shortly afterwards...
Yeah.
You know, maybe at the reception do afterwards or whatever... This is your cousin, Gregoria.
You know,
kid blurts out some semi-digested rusk.
Yeah.
And we're going to make you marry her.
Oh, right. Despite the fact that at 8 months old, you probably have no concept of cousins or marriage.
Yeah, or anything.
Or emperors, or Constantinople, for that matter.
So it was his dad's first cousin's kid.
Lovely.
So they were second cousins. The marriage was technically incestuous. But this was deemed just not so important, considering this was a good match. It was a very good match.
Yeah. And actually, at 8 months old, there's a few years before, you know, incestuousness is going to start occurring.
Yeah. It's also worth throwing into the mix that...
she was 74.
Constantine.
Yeah.
Well, his dad, he married his niece, Martina. The same year, so...
Wow. It went in the family.
Yes, incest generally does. So Constantine then had to wait another 28 years to become a senior emperor.
Wow.
Senior emperor. Emperor? Like, you're an emperor or you're not.
Did he have to find another baby to make junior emperor at that point?
No, he reigned with his younger half-brother.
Who was a fetus.
Heraclinus, who was the son of Martina, who was the niece of his dad.
Of course. Yeah.
And then rumours started going around that Martina had had him poisoned. But we don't know. And so then there was a co-emperor called Constance II. And then Martina and her sons were deposed, mutilated and banished. Oh. I don't know how, I don't know why. But as we say...
That's taken the shine off it. We'd gone all happy until...
That's history, folks. You signed up for this the minute you hit the subscribe button. Did you hit the subscribe button?
Did you? You should have done.
You don't have to hit it. I spent a bit of time in America and they always say touch.
Ooh.
Touch 5. If you wish to speak to a representative, touch 5. Just touch it. Touch it. Caress it.
Yeah. Don't like the word
lick
touch.
The pound key. You don't like
pound
the touch.
The
we talked about this yesterday. You need pound the lick key. All right.
Happy birthday to globe-trotting potato enthusiast Walter Raleigh, who popularised tobacco and gave everyone lung cancer. No, I'm doing up. Okay, we're going to take this up. Lord Byron, happy birthday to you, an adolescent twonk who wrote poetry for other adolescent twonks to think is brilliant. Also, happy...
And spawned a very successful chain of burger restaurants.
Yes, that was his greatest contribution to us all, apart from maybe Ada Lovelace. Happy birthday to Gillian Shepherd, the little-remembered Conservative Secretary of State for Education in the mid-1990s, who you probably only remember as being not quite Theresa Gorman.
Yeah, but like...
Now, there's a niche reference.
I was going to say, only you, Nat. Only you.
Happy death day to Alfric Puttock, who's mainly here because I like the name Alfric Puttock.
You must have had a horrible time at school.
Yeah. Puttock.
Just awful.
Puttock. Is Puttock here? Has anyone seen Puttock?
He's such a putter cake.
He was the 11th century Archbishop of York, who supported the son of Canute, who was, of course, called Arthur Canute. That's absolutely true. It's the way you can remember who was Knut's son. Half a Knut. He crowned the previous English king, Harold Harefoot, but then, later on in a sitcom script, apparently, he was made to dig up the body and hide it somewhere so no one knew where it was. Oh. Puttock apparently means buzzard. His real name was Alfric the Buzzard. Happy death day to you, Alfric.
This is so much better.
Happy death day to Queen Victoria, the whose great-great-great-grandson used to hang out with Jeffrey Epstein, okay, allegedly. Probably not, though. Well done on siring that, Queen Victoria. Well done you.
And well done on swerving that lawsuit, Matt.
Happy death day to, and this may be my favourite name today, even beating Alfric Puttock, Fanny Bullock Workman.
No. That's a home exercise. That's like a home gym thing, isn't it?
The Fanny Bullock Workman.
Tums, tums, yes. Bums.
She was the first female mountaineer. She was a champion of women's rights. She was a suffragist. She published 8 travel books. She also had 2 kids who she promptly abandoned. Well, no, she and her husband both put them in a school as soon as they were old enough with a nanny and left and didn't see them again, going on bicycle tours around Europe, climbing mountains and writing books about it. She was brilliant. Well
done. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they weren't interested in kids, really. And I think that's quite refreshing that we can say, yeah, they just weren't that bothered by them. Had them, made sure they were looked after, went off, did their thing, climbed some mountains. Fanny Bullock Workman. She's amazing.
How?
Her husband's all right, too, I suppose.
How are you, Nat?
Fine today. Fine.
Good.
I mean, in light of that, my second round 2 selection isn't going to look sinister at all.
Oh, anyway.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
Round 2!
I'm taking you back to the 22nd of January, 1927.
Ooh.
And a man called Teddy Wakelam gives the first ever live radio commentary of a football match anywhere in the world.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Who was playing?
Arsenal FC and Sheffield United at Highbury. And I definitely know where Highbury is.
It's in that London, isn't it?
I'm guessing that's Arsenal's. Yeah, probably. So
there were no clichés for him to use. He had to make up new ones.
Absolutely. And he did every single one. There's some people on the pitch.
No, it's a game of 3/3. No, it's a game of 4 quarters. No, it's in there somewhere. Well, I've got to find it.
It's funny you should talk about quarters, because he came up with a system. Because this was entirely without precedent. No one had ever commentated on really any sporting match, hardly of any kind ever.
Mm.
And so he came up with a system thinking, well, how can I convey what's going on to the people listening? So he divided the football pitch into 8 squares.
Nice.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And in the Radio Times, they published his 8-square grid. And the idea was that, sort of with your finger, you could follow the play from your armchair using the grid on your lap.
I love that.
So he would sort of say, it's Hopkins, goes to square 2, up to square 4 now. And it looks like he's, nope, back to square 1. And it looks, they think that that's the origin of the phrase, back to square 1.
Really?
Yeah.
That's... Wow, okay, that's... we've learned something. We've all learned something today.
Brinkman takes it to square 3, but he's intercepted and goes back to square 2. No, square 4! No, square...
I don't think he probably would have stopped saying square after a while, so it just became 4, 2, 1... 8! 8! 8!
Still 8!
It's gone off.
Back to square 1.
Well, I am going to take you to the 22nd of January, 1973... when the Supreme Court handed down its judgment in the case of Roe versus Wade.
Oh, wow.
Norma McCarvey had wanted an abortion for her third child and filed suit against her local district attorney that Texas abortion laws were unconstitutional. And on the 22nd of January 1973, the Supreme Court found in her favour and found that, yes, they were unconstitutional. Texas's and many states' abortion laws violated the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment, which protected people's privacy and a woman's right to choose. So it overturned a lot of local and state laws. And it was pointed out in the arguments for the case that actually abortion laws were fairly recent in America. There hadn't been any until 1821, when Connecticut was the first state to introduce any abortion laws. J. Floyd was defending the states at the time, or defending Wade, who was the district attorney in Texas. And he opened with a joke.
God! No, but you got to warm them up, haven't you, to be fair?
You do. See how well judged you think this joke is. I mean, you know what this case is about.
Yeah. What's the difference between a pregnant woman and a light bulb? You can unscrew a light bulb. But today, ladies and gentlemen...
Not if it's a bayonet fitting.
Oh, God.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, it's an old joke, but when a man argues against two beautiful ladies like this, they are going to have the last word.
Oh.
And apparently that met with complete silence, and he looked around the court looking for... Am I right?
Is this on?
No, okay. Airplane food. Try the veal.
Oh, wow. That's... Gosh. Wow. Wee, willy, wee, wee.
I know what you're thinking. Did Telly Savalas and Cookie Monster have a baby? Well...
Or not, because today...
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's absolutely horrifying.
It is horrifying, isn't it? 2 years earlier, in 1971, Shirley Wheeler had been charged with manslaughter after Florida hospital staff had informed... on her having an illegal abortion to local law enforcement. She was sentenced to 2 years probation. So actually, women were being convicted for having abortions before it happened. So Roe versus Wade is my selection for the most important thing to have happened on the 22nd of January ever.
Nah, mate, it's the guy with the football grid. No question.
1-8-8-1-1-1-1-3.
I mean, how wonderful that, you know, what a moment of progress in American social history. And how wonderful that... We haven't got anything like...
No, I mean, that's bound to
laws
be, yeah.
being instituted now where if you don't conduct an operation that's never been done that doesn't actually exist, you're going to be found guilty of a violation of an unborn and unviable fetus's human rights.
Yes, and absolutely wonderful that we secured those rights, or the people of the 70s secured those rights for everyone in the future.
Yes.
Forever. We were doing so well. We were going to end on a high.
Go on, do your funny joke about the two lovely ladies again. Go on.
When a man argues against two beautiful ladies like this. I mean, I'm just imagining him pointing at them as he does it. And I reckon halfway through the point is when he realised, I've misjudged this.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's when you turn and do the big gesture and you suddenly feel everyone's heads not turning quickly. That's when you know you've lost the audience.
Ah, the horror.
It's an old joke when a man argues against two lovely ladies like thee. Oh, God, I didn't think this through.
I can imagine him just saying to himself, jeez, Connie was right.
Scribbling through it.
All these, there were like 25 other jokes peppered throughout the statement. He was just frantically on the fly, just, no, that's not going to work.
Doctor, I feel like a pair of... No.
What do you call a fetus?
Well, that was the 22nd of January.
That was a catastrophe.
Wasn't it, though?
Who won, though? That's the question, because...
Yes.
You know,
that's for you to decide.
Exactly. So why don't you get yourself online right now? On the Twitters there, it's @date_fight.
And on Facebook, it's facebook.com/datefight.
And you can cast your vote for what won today. We will accumulate them across the week, and we will announce the winner in Sunday's podcast, because we're here 7-7, guys.
Yeah. 7-7. 7-7, 24-7, 365, 365.
It's 5 to the 5 to carry the 1.
I mean,
exactly.
So far, what, 79, but not, you know...
Yeah.
Close enough.
I was thinking, should we do something special for our 100th show?
Yes. We'll do it in costume. We'll do a nude show.
No, we won't.
Okay.
It's normally me saying things like that and you backing away. Do you feel... I feel that in every relationship, one person is merging and the other person is separating.
Ooh. I've never heard it put quite like that.
And I feel like just now you became merging.
Thank you.
Do you want to merge?
To find out, come back tomorrow at the same time. time.
We'll tell you if we merged.
We've turned this into a will they won't they podcast.
Listen, whatever has traction, you can tell us what you think. What do you want more of?
Yeah,
there's been some suggestion that
people want. I mean, that's premium content.
Kiss. Yeah, it's very much premium content. We'll have a look at a Patreon and see what we can do.
See you tomorrow, Ben.
Yeah, bye. Sorry, bye.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.